From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 73, the episode where freedom is just a four-letter word.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
All right, well, this is our fourth episode since the reboot, so we don't have to tell you that we are no longer answering tech help questions on this show. And if you want to hear us answer tech help questions, you need to subscribe to our other show, Ask Deemable Tech. I don't have to tell you that anymore.
But you just did tell them that.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't have to, and that's what's important.
Yeah, okay. And thanks to you who are sticking around because you love talking about tech news, apps, and gadget reviews and everything like that.
And thanks for sharing us with your friends and enemies, maybe, on the forums and the Facebooks and the Twitters and all over the inner tubes.
And a special thank you to our Redditors. You guys have been helping us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Super awesome. Thank you so much. And you can join in. You can go to our subreddit page and submit a story and vote other stories up or down.
Where's that at, Ray?
It's deemable.com/reddit. We'll take you there.
All right.
Yep. Well, let's get right into the big stories in the tech world for this week. Here is this week's rundown. Obviously, the big story is that the FCC has finally made up its mind and decided that net neutrality is the law of the land. Okay, well, it's not exactly law, but it's the rule of government, at least for now. So we're going to talk more about net neutrality a lot later on in the show after the rundown.
Okay, Gizmodo reports that Reddit has outlawed porn.
Oh, no.
Wait, no, no. Reddit has prohibited unwanted porn. That's not right either. Reddit has banned involuntary pornography.
Oh.
Reddit has announced that it is no longer allowing pictures or videos to be posted to the site without the permission of the subjects. In a statement on its website, it said, "No matter who you are, if a photograph, video, or digital image of you in a state of nudity, sexual excitement, or engaged in any act of sexual conduct is posted or linked to on Reddit without your permission, it is prohibited on Reddit." To take the photos or videos down, however, you will have to report the offense to Reddit. This change in policy is considered to be a direct response to the incident known as the Fappening, where a cache of leaked celebrity nudes was leaked online and posted to Reddit. Sean, do you find some part of this funny?
No, I thought that Ray's reaction, oh no, when he started reading was funny.
Completely false reaction. No, I think this is fantastic. This should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, the community on Reddit is wonderful and horrible, all mixed up in one.
I will agree with one of those statements. No. I'll let you decide which one.
Okay. But no, I mean, Reddit can do amazing, wonderful things. And it's where the darkest of dark of humanity also resides.
Yeah.
And the reason why both of those can inhabit one place is because of the freedom that they are allowed to, you know, work in. But there's a point at which it's just too far.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And this is, you know, some people would say this is overdue. One of the things is that when all that went down with the leaked celebrity nudes, you know, Reddit obviously makes their money off of traffic.
Sure.
From web traffic.
Yeah.
And they got a ton of it. And it was estimated they probably covered their server costs for a month in one day of that.
Wow.
So it was a case where they kind of had a vested financial interest in not stopping this from happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad to see that they're taking the ethical stance, if a little bit after the fact.
Yeah, after they profited off of it.
Yeah.
Are you guys surprised that it's taken this long? Like, I'm just thinking about, like, how long have we had the term revenge porn?
Right.
You know, years. And a lot of that happens on Reddit. And,
sure.
You know, it's taking them until now. This was, you know, highly publicized and obviously big name celebrities.
Yeah. Now, well, those subreddits are going to be taken down. Those are specifically being taken down. The other pornography, like you said, Tom, you have to report that, hey, this picture was put up of me. I don't know if you're ever going to have to deal with this.
All the time.
Those ex-girlfriends, man.
Yeah. Killing me.
So you have to report to Reddit that, you know, there's a picture of you that you didn't approve to be posted, but they are at least offering a way to get it taken down quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, Sean, back to your question, I believe Reddit has a new CEO. I can't think of her name off the top of my head. But it's a woman, and it's their first female CEO. And I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, after they get a new CEO, they go in this direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Is that Yishan Wang?
No, I don't.
I just did a really quick Google search.
Something with Pow? Reddit CEO Pow?
I don't know.
This is very thrilling for the podcast.
Ellen Pow.
Ellen Pow. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, Yishan Wang is the former CEO of Reddit.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, Apple has sent out press invitations to a super secret event on March 9th. Did you guys get your press invitations?
Mine's still in the mail, I'm sure.
Is it really that super secret if we're talking about it?
Well, no one has any idea what it's about. No, just kidding. It's the Apple Watch announcement. Everybody knows what it's going to be about. The tagline is even spring forward, an obvious time reference. At the event, I'm sure we're going to find out which features have actually ended up in the watch, because it looks like a bunch of features are getting dropped because they actually can't do, for instance, health monitoring because they didn't get approval for it. We'll see. Who knows? And the worst part is, you know, of course, they're looking at the battery life on this watch is probably going to be around 4 hours.
Wow, that's crazy.
Which is kind of terrible. But The Verge is saying that there have also been rumors of a new MacBook Air or like a redesigned MacBook Air. And there may be an update on the Beats Music streaming service. So
that'd be good.
We'll see if we see any of that on the 9th. We'll be live tweeting the event if we can, if there's a stream of it. So keep an eye on @Deemable on Twitter.
There you go.
Speaking of watches, Pebble has decided to rock the crowdfunding universe again. Pebble announced Tuesday it was launching another smartwatch. This one... Was that the crowd?
Yeah, it was the crowd.
Okay, cool. This one, which is being dubbed the Pebble Time, has a color e-ink display, a microphone for dictation, and voice activation. And it's thinner than the original Pebble, and it's more contoured to fit the wrist. Although, a strange thing, they're not really talking about this, but the microphone only works with Android actions right now.
Really?
So... you can use it with the Gmail app, apparently, on iOS, but that's it.
Is it because it has to, like, tie into Google's voice program?
The APIs.
The API.
Yeah, and apparently there really aren't any APIs for an external microphone for Siri on iOS. But they are working to get it working on iOS soon. And I believe that they'll do it. Interesting, as of right now, as of recording this podcast... they have beaten their original Kickstarter.
Oh, wow.
Their original Kickstarter, they raised $10,266,845 for the Pebble watch that I have here on my wrist.
And that ain't pocket change.
It's not. No, their goal was $100,000 in that one. This one, they have already raised
$10,706,475
as of right this second. It's probably going to change in 2 seconds. And they still have 29 days to go.
Wow.
So they are doing really fantastic. It looks nice. If I had the cash, I'd totally get it.
So if you want to spring for this on Kickstarter right now, what's it cost?
Well, they started it at $159.
Uh-huh.
And those were for
the early
adopters. For the first 10,000 backers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all gone. Then it was $179. And I think that is currently still available. You can still get it for $179.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No, not too bad at all. They got them in a lot of different colors, and the e-ink display is really nice, the color screen. They did add a new timeline feature that apparently is going to roll out to the Pebble Steel and the original Pebble Sport watch. So that's not super exciting, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I like, too, that they are going to continue supporting the old tech, because these are watches. These aren't, you know, like smartphones, which we're used to, you know, getting a new one every couple of years.
Yeah.
Most people buy a watch and they hang on to it for 10, 20, forever, you know, whatever.
Which is, I think, one of the big challenges for wearables, you know.
Yeah.
You've either got to convince people to buy a new watch every couple years, or you've got to somehow make a smart device that you can keep for practically ever.
Or, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to end up convincing people to buy a new...
Most likely.
But that's why I can't wrap my head around the Apple. As much of an Apple fanboy as I am, I admit it, I just don't get the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cheap one is looking at $350 expecting it to be.
Now, here's the big question that I have. Why are they having an Apple Watch announcement? It's already been announced.
Now, the thing I'll say is, you know, they did something very un-Apple-like when they announced it beforehand. I think the only product that they've ever announced before it was really ready to launch was the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they wanted to get ahead of the rumors when the FCC regulation, you know, stuff went through. So they wanted to make the announcement before that happened. But I feel like with the Apple Watch, they didn't have to get ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
They could have waited until it was ready to launch and then announce it. And I think they may have been better off. I think that it was a wrong choice to announce it beforehand because everyone's just ripping it to shreds now.
Yeah, you got to wonder.
So I don't know. I have low expectations for the Apple Watch.
I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
Number one, at this event, are they going to release another U2 album?
Yeah. It's the plan.
Yeah, I think they are.
And two, this is for Ray. Since you're the only one of us who has a smartwatch of any type, if someone gave you the choice of just getting either an Apple Watch or the new Pebble for free, which one would you go with?
Oh, no, that's a... probably the Apple Watch, just because it's going to be so expensive. We'll get the more, and I'll sell that and then buy two Pebble watches.
You can wear one on either wrist, and Will.i.am will be your friend.
We got to work Will.i.am.
That is a reference to a previous episode. Go back and listen.
Listen to them all.
Yeah. What I will say about the Pebble Watch that I love, and it's what I dislike about what they announced the Apple Watch is going to be like. I like that the Pebble Watch keeps me from using my phone as much.
Mm-hmm.
It makes my life simpler. I get a notification. I can clear it out. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple Watch, it seemed like it was trying to replace the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
It had so many features, so many things it could do, so many weird things like draw a picture and send it to somebody else who had an Apple Watch.
And you can send your pulse to someone. That was the weirdest thing
to
me.
That was so nerdy. The whole announcement of the Apple Watch seemed so nerdy.
Yeah.
So inside tech. It just didn't feel like an Apple announcement at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the product doesn't feel Apple. Apple is so good at streamlining it down to the bare essentials.
Mm-hmm.
What does this need to be what it needs to be?
Right.
That's
right.
The worst sentence ever. But you know what I'm saying.
I get exactly what you're saying.
Like, strip it down to the bare essentials and make it awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they just threw the whole kitchen sink this and everything they could possibly have. And that's why the battery life is so terrible. I mean, one of the reasons.
Well, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Assuming.
Knock on wood.
I'm surprised. I mean, with as much junk as they threw in there, I'm surprised they didn't put a camera on it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do that, I guess, because they had already picked on Samsung for putting a camera on that, which I actually thought was kind of functional. And when I've played with the Samsung watches,
the
camera feels pretty functional because you're just like, got a picture of you. Nothing you can do about it.
Well, why would you put
it? That's not creepy.
Can't put it on Reddit, though.
Why would you put a camera in a watch, though? Why wouldn't you want to just put that in a pair of glasses?
Or a vest.
Or a vest. Seriously, go back and listen to the past three episodes if you don't know what we're talking about.
Will.i.am, tech genius.
By the way, we did discover that the website will.i.am belongs to will.i.am, which is as it should be. All is right in the world.
Just to be fair to Will.i.am, we're not picking on you.
No.
We love you. We want you to come and be on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you can't wear a smartwatch or Will.i.am's strange
Pulse.
Smart bracelet, maybe because you don't have hands, there's hope.
Nice segue.
Worst segue ever.
All right. We're going to talk about bionic arms. We have the technology and we can rebuild them. There are three men with irreparable nerve damage, and they have had their arms amputated and replaced with prosthetics controlled directly through their nervous systems. The procedure is performed by Oskar Osman at the Medical University of Vienna, Austria. The prosthetic is powered and controlled by a small piece of healthy leg muscle that has been grafted into the patient's arm. Ooh. What is perhaps most notable is that the three patients all volunteered to have their arms amputated to undergo this procedure. Now, while their whole arms were previously useless due to the nerve damage, the arms were intact. So they basically volunteered to give up a more or less healthy arm so they could get a working prosthetic.
That, when I read the story, that freaked me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. I mean, if your hands are useless, you know, they're just, you know, not dead, but they're, you know,
you can't manipulate them in any way.
Yeah, functionally dead, then I guess that makes sense. This is really cool, though, because it feels like we're getting closer to the Star Wars reality of, you know, having a new arm.
Yet when they had their arms amputated, did they do it by lightsaber? That's what I want to know.
Yes, I believe they did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, Pachyderm McGirtz, I'm hoping I pronounced that right, submitted this next story on our subreddit page, which you can do too. Just go to deemable.com/reddit and submit a story you think we should talk about on the show. Google looks like it is doubling down on mobile payments. According to a report from DigitalTrends.com, Google has purchased competitor SoftCard. On February 23rd, Google made the announcement that it had bought the wallet app company SoftCard, which was formerly and unfortunately named ISIS. Oops. You know, just like the terrorist group. ISIS, the wallet app company, started in 2009 as a joint effort by Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile to get a foothold in the mobile payment industry. Unfortunately, in 2011, the terrorist group, then known as the Islamic State in Iraq, began fighting in Syria and started being called by the media the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS for short. The group apparently now just wants to be called the Islamic State, but whatever.
They didn't want to conflict with the payment system.
Well, whatever they want to be called now, it was called ISIS long enough in the media to completely destroy the value, if it had any, of the company's name. Because ISIS, I mean, why would you call... What?
That's weird.
I tried to find out why it was called ISIS, and I never found out what that meant. But anyways, so ISIS, the digital wallet app company, announced in September of last year that it was changing its name to SoftCard. So now you've been caught up on that. But back to the current story, Google bought SoftCard and worked out a deal with AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile so that all new Android phones, will have Google Wallet pre-installed on them. So pretty big coup for Google.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, they were having a hard time fighting with the carriers to get Google Wallet installed, and the carriers didn't want to do that. That's why they started their own thing. Now, and forgive me for picking on Google here, but in a very Google way, instead of consolidating the two services into one service, Google is going to keep the two services separate and, wait for this, add a new service.
What?
Rumor has it that Google is going to announce Android Pay at the Google I/O conference.
Oh, okay. Now, I think Android Pay isn't quite the same thing.
It's not exactly the same thing. They are going to overlap in usefulness.
Yeah, but I just briefly skimmed this. My impression was Android Pay was an API that you could use to access the payment service.
Yeah, it'll apparently, well, and again, I'm sure they'll explain everything at Google I/O, hopefully. But it does look like it'll be kind of like how Apple Pay, you can pay for your apps and you can pay for in-app purchases, which you can do with Google Wallet right now, can't you?
Well, I'll be honest, and I meant to do this. I promised on Reddit, and I haven't. And I will soon, and we'll talk about it on a podcast. I haven't actually ever set up Google Wallet and used it.
Hmm. Well, you know, we have this because, again, it was submitted to us on Reddit. And another Redditor, a Peanut Butter Shutter, which is my favorite tag on Reddit ever, he said, "I love the concept of Google Wallet, but they've really done a terrible job of getting it widely used. Again, Apple has taken the cake with striving toward ubiquity in its services despite not being the first in the market. In this case, Apple Pay, when Google Wallet has been around for years. Perhaps this is Google actually taking aggressive steps towards making this service usable."
Now,
so at least one person I know of, you, it has at least influenced you to consider actually using Google Wallet.
I mean, this is a huge coup for Google, like you said. The fact that, they've just killed a competitor.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. They bought it.
So, yeah.
But yeah.
That alone is probably worth the investment for them. But B, working on a deal where they will have their wallet pre-installed on all these phones. Because... Mm-hmm. For a long, AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile have not been Google's friends. The reason why Google Wallet is obscure and has been stalled in the water is because the carriers were kind of like, no way, no how, not on our phones.
Right.
We're going to do our own thing. We're going to do SoftCard/ISIS. every time I say
I always wonder how... slash ISIS. So terrible.
We'll have more ISIS jokes next week, folks.
No more ISIS jokes. But yeah, I feel so bad for them because I was like, the worst luck ever that you would name your company after the name of a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good, I think it's a really good move for mobile payments. You know, with me trying out the LoopPay, which Samsung just recently bought, it did make me aware of where you can actually make mobile payments. And it's really moving aggressively, especially since the Apple Pay announcement. And which is great for Google Wallet users because everywhere where Google Wallet works, Apple Pay works.
So, in theory, yeah.
In theory, yeah. If it works at all. What's funny is at McDonald's, a couple of McDonald's I've been to, they have signs up now that say they take Google Wallet, soft card, and Apple Pay.
Nice. Now, my question is then, are there soft card users out there that are really like aggravated by this change?
I don't know.
Like, I didn't even realize that had been rolled out. I thought maybe Google bought it before it was active.
No. They did an announcement on their website saying, hey, you can keep on tapping. It will still work. and as Google takes over, it's going to continue working.
If you're listening and you use SoftCard, we would love to hear from you.
If there's somebody out there that uses it, they do have an incredible mascot. Called Tappy.
Yes.
I'm not going to play that, but I will definitely link to it in the show notes.
You need to see the visual. You need to see the visual for this.
I don't know why SoftCard didn't take off tremendously with this mascot, Tappy. It's pretty great.
Have you seen Tappy?
Yes. What is Tappy exactly?
Tappy is a mobile payments register thing.
That's what he is. He's like the unit that
he's the thing that you tap. Okay. Yeah.
The important thing is that he has giant, frightening, googly eyes
and with eyelashes
and glowing eyelashes.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So
yeah, he's a lot to take in.
Anyway,
but at least he has the little NFC logo on his front,
and he beeps when you tap him.
All right, let's move on. Speaking of Google, this is kind of a fun story. Oh. DeepMind Technologies, which is a tech startup that Google purchased, I think last year, is working on this artificial intelligence that they hope will develop human-like problem-solving skills. Yes, Skynet.
It's called Skynet.
And to kind of build this, they needed to put this AI through exercises that have simple rules and clear standards for failure, yet still present a challenge for most people.
Oh, what could that be?
Well, they decided to use old Atari 2600 games for this.
Oh, my goodness.
They thought they were perfect for this, which is funny because I guess it's a good use for Atari 2600 games. Like, who else is playing those right now?
Right, exactly.
I am. That's what I do at night.
Oh, that's what you do.
That's all I do.
I always wondered that, right?
I've only been able to beat two of them.
Well, DeepMind made this AI play through 49 different Atari 2600 games without giving it instructions for how to play the game. They just kind of threw it in. It was like, play this game, figure it out.
That's what I do with my kids, too. Yeah. I put them in front of games and just play and leave me alone.
When it got through the games correctly and I believe got a high score, they rewarded the AI. And it eventually learned how to play the games. And it eventually beat previously artificial intelligence records for 43 of the games. And even it exceeded the skills of master human players for 29 of them.
Nice.
Oh, my goodness.
So this AI was able to surpass the best human players of these 2,600 games, almost 30 of them. That's crazy.
Jeez. Without any instructions.
Without any instructions. Just going through it. A DeepMind vice president told Bloomberg that this represents the first time anyone has built a single learning system that learns directly from experience and manage a wide range of challenging tasks, and that their ultimate goal will be to use this for smart, general-purpose technology. And I know you're both wondering, how do you reward AI?
Yeah, that was my question. How do you reward AI?
That was my question, too. Tom tried to explain it before we started recording.
I mean, do you give it dessert?
Yes.
You did such a good job. Do you want some more TV time?
Yeah. You're such a good boy. You just program it to think it's been rewarded.
Yeah.
It's not that exciting.
but it's basically you know, positive reinforcement.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you have a dog, this is what they teach you to do. If he does something right, give it a treat.
But how do you call it nice names? You pat it on the head?
Well, it's plugged into the scoring system, right? So it's getting excited as those numbers are getting bigger. And that's ingenious because all these old Atari games had scores.
Yep.
You know, it makes a lot of sense.
This bums me out because I still haven't beat Super Mario Brothers 2. This AI...
I always love that one, by the way. I've beaten it, by the way.
I know, I haven't beaten it. This AI has mastered, like 50 games.
But probably not Super Mario 2, because that was not on the Atari.
It was not.
No. I'm curious about what the 29 games are, and I'm curious if, like, Dig Dug was among them, because that game always baffled me.
You know what? You know the story that's not being told here, right?
What's that?
Somebody at DeepMind was asked... Why am I here? you know that this thing is sentient.
Yep,
it's true.
This is scary. 2015, folks.
Did you guys see the video that went along with this story?
No.
It's kind of cool because they show it playing Pong, basically the classic. Uh-huh. The brick-breaking game.
Breakout?
Yeah.
Wozniak's game.
And it says like after 100 iterations, after 200 iterations. So it's like how many times it's played.
Yeah.
So at first it's like, it's terrible. It's like missing the ball. And then it's like hitting the ball occasionally. And then like they get to a point like almost 1,000 iterations in where it figures out the trick where you like hit it up the side, get the ball to tunnel over to the top and just nice. Go crazy. And the AI keeps doing that. And you're like, oh my gosh, this thing is intelligent.
Oh, wow.
Now I want to know... Did they make it play the E.T. Atari
game? That's a really good question.
Is that one of the 49 games?
Because that
no one knows how to beat that game, not even AI.
Yeah. I remember that game. It was so weird and awful.
All right, well, let's get to the big story, the FCC and net neutrality.
Okay, well, we can all go home now. We're done. It's over. The FCC voted today 3-2 to classify broadband internet as a public utility under Title II. This means that, for now at least, the FCC has the ability to regulate broadband internet and enforce net neutrality. So, net neutrality won, folks.
Yep.
Verizon and Comcast released statements stating that they were disappointed with the ruling.
Aww.
While AT&T issued a more ominous statement hinting that the FCC might be overruled by Congress or the courts. Some Republican lawmakers have threatened legislative action to overrule the FCC. The FCC vote did fall along party lines, with the three Democrat board members voting for net neutrality and the two Republicans voting against.
Mm.
Tech companies were almost uniformly ecstatic, with Netflix, Kickstarter, Microsoft, and Tumblr all chiming in. At the heart of the new classification are rules banning the blocking or throttling of traffic, as well as paid prioritization, and a requirement that ISPs disclose network management practices.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk a little bit about why net neutrality is bad.
It's bad.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's tackle that. Now we talked on First Coast Connect and we came out as supporters of net neutrality, which I am very impressed that you called this perfectly.
Thank you.
I am buying lottery tickets with you, doing all my horse betting with you. I've never bet on horses. I don't even know.
We're going to start, man. I got some good ideas.
Because you called that right on the money. You said it's going to be 3-2, Republicans against, Democrats for. And it's exactly how it went down. But let's talk about the bad side. Mm-hmm. Now, there are folks who say that net neutrality, which is, like we said before, it is the rule of government for right now, that... It is going to stifle innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument is that because the government is telling businesses, you can't do things the way you necessarily want them to, which is take money, you know, force some companies to pay you extra money to have their content. Well, then that makes it less likely they're going to want to invest in infrastructure.
But that has not been the case up till this point.
Right. Because up until now, always been open.
Yeah, we've basically had net neutrality with occasional bumps in the road thanks to the fact that it wasn't technically a legal requirement. You could wiggle around it. Although it kind of was in 2009, then there was a court case and yada yada. But basically, people have been operating under the assumption that things had to be this way.
Right.
That it was neutral, that you couldn't block, that you couldn't slow, that there weren't fast lanes. And I don't think anyone would look at the last 20 years of the tech industry and say there hasn't been any innovation.
Right. And, you know, I've heard this compared to, you know, the phone company and to the railroads. You know, the railroads were regulated and it just basically they went bankrupt, you know, and they had to be saved. Ironically, though, the phone company is the perfect example of why this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't for the regulation on the phone companies that said you can't tell people what you can plug into the phone lines, mm-hmm. the internet as we know it wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because prior to that regulation going into effect, you had to use Bell equipment. I'm trying to remember the name of it. AT&T, yeah. But before then it was Bell. You had to use equipment from them. I mean, my grandmother had a rented telephone from the 60s that she still had to the day she died.
Yeah. Excuse me for asking this. When did she pass away?
Last year. Year before last.
So she had, like, for 40 years.
$3 every 4 months.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, she paid for that phone many times over again.
She did.
And I tried to convince her. I was like, Grandma, just call them up and tell them that it's broke. But it's not broke. How they'll know? Like, they won't know. But unfortunately, that phone, it was a rotary phone, too. Yeah. They did end up getting it back, but that's another story.
You have to pick up and go, operator, I need to talk to New York.
I think you could do that. But yeah, I mean, before then, you had to rent equipment from them.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was regulated, then they couldn't say that anymore.
Wait, does this mean Comcast will stop trying to make me rent a cable modem?
They won't stop trying to.
Because I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna, Comcast!
Yeah, I mean, you can save a lot of money over time by just going to the store and buying one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit more upfront. I think it's like $70 to buy a cable modem.
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah. Depending.
I was looking at Costco the other day for one, and that's, mm-hmm. I think that's how much it was. But, you know, that's the sort of thing. You couldn't put a modem on the phone lines,
yeah.
Which was how most people got on the internet, mm-hmm. back in the day. Mm-hmm. So that's an ironic comparison because... Right.
Well, you know, it's like net neutrality enforces a specific kind of openness. It enforces an open standard in terms of access. Now, if you want to go off and invent some new way to access the internet, yeah, maybe it would stifle that, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we have had new types, new ways anyways. It's not clear. I'm having trouble visualizing this specific scenario in which this stifles innovation.
Right.
Maybe there is one. Maybe I'm missing it.
Well, it reduces the amount of profit that big companies could possibly make.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that if a company is making a bunch of profit, they will innovate more.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case,
their profit would not come from innovation. It would come from shaking down other companies for money.
And that's
really where
I wish I could remember who I heard this from today. Somebody on NPR was talking about this. And the problem is that the ISPs have been trying to squeeze every last penny out of the current infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to continue.
Right.
It's going to get worse.
That does not mean that they will innovate. That means they're going to continue squeezing everything they can out of the current existing infrastructure before they invest and move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't have to, they won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's by consumer demand or by government regulation. So, like I said, we've already said we, you know, totally agree with this. And it's weird, too, because when you say government regulation, it sounds bad.
It does.
And it usually, most people would agree, it isn't that great when you're regulating what a business can do and restricting what they can do, because that means they're not as flexible and open and they don't have as much freedom to do what they want to with their property, more or less.
Yeah, but you got to think of it like, you know, there's they're regulating this as a utility under Title II. And, you know, think about that. We could have, say, the electric lines deregulated or, you know, sewage and water. What if that was all private companies using different standards?
Right.
That might make those companies more money and might be more innovative, but it would kind of be a downer for the rest of us. It would be chaos.
Yeah. I mean... And the people who are opposed to it, like Senator John McCain tweeted out a response, the internet should be free and open, not regulated by federal bureaucrats. the regulation is saying that the internet should be free and open.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And saying that the big companies can't control it and decide who wins and who loses. And that's really what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
If the companies that have control over the internet, because they are the gateway to the internet, if they have the choice to pick and choose who the winners are, they're going to pick themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it's through getting more money out of the competition or just pushing their product over somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is. So it's not free and open if the gatekeepers decide who comes and who goes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I don't agree with them, but I really did admire how the Verizon posted their response in a typewriter font warned of an internet throwback Thursday. And that was creative. I give them points for that.
So here's a fun fact. This is all Verizon's fault.
I see where you're going, but explain.
Okay. So in 2009, it was Verizon that brought the lawsuit against the FCC that said you can't regulate us because you have not declared us as Title II.
Hmm.
And they won the lawsuit. And I think, it's widely speculated that their fellow carriers were kind of like facepalming at that moment because they're like, you guys, did you see what you just did?
Yep.
Like, this is the world's most Comcast Pyrrhic victory. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because basically they had a weaker version of net neutrality before. They probably could have wheeled around a lot more.
Yep.
And that got shut down, and then they get this. So good job, Verizon.
Hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, everybody, the opponents definitely, they seem like they want to fight with legislation.
It'll be interesting to see if that really happens or if they're just making noise. I don't really want to get political with this.
No.
I am still very surprised that the Republicans have picked this as an issue. I will just say that.
I'm disappointed that it fell down on political lines because I do not think that this is a partisan issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm really disappointed that it did end up on partisan lines.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some opponents have said, it's 3-2. That's a very narrow margin.
That's very true.
Can easily change with the next appointments to the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can change through Congress or, what any other method. So, but as for now, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is the way that things have to go until the lawsuits start and the lobbying starts. So, all right, well, that is all the time that we have for today.
What?
Yep. Next week, though, we are going to be tossing in some app and gadget reviews like we've been teasing about.
Mm-hmm. What?
Now, so if you have a suggestion or if you just have a comment for the show, give us a call and leave us a voicemail. Just call that number. It's 1-888-972-9868. Or you can send us an email to feedback@deemable.com.
What?
And don't forget, to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show, go to our subreddit page and submit a story and vote other stories up or down. Deemable.com/reddit will take you there. And stick around for just a little bit after the show for a little something special. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech.
So, since we've been on Reddit, we've discovered a wonderful subreddit called Shower Thoughts, which we all really enjoy. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's people posting the weird thoughts that come to them in the shower. So, Sean Birch is going to read you a small selection. Please enjoy.
Do you need to sit down when you're in space?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
You don't have to sit down.
Do fish know if they're swimming?
Dude.
I wonder what my dog named me.
Rough. Are we supposed to be answering them?
And speaking of dogs, do whales even know if dogs exist? I don't think they do.
They wouldn't, right? I mean, there might be like one whale.
Do dogs know if whales exist?
Probably not.
Thanks to dude, bro, and man, I haven't said my best friend's name in 4 years.
I don't even know my best friend's name.
At one point in your life, your parents put you down and never picked you back up.
Oh.
Oh, that was depressing.
What if robots came up with a funny, uncoordinated dance and called it doing the human?
I think they'd call it doing the Tom.
Why doesn't Bic make a lighter pin combo?
Lighter pin and razor.
Oh, yeah.
What if there was a form of Tourette's where you shouted out spoilers?
I would kill you.
We will never know how many secret agents we have walked by in our lifetime.
I know, right?
Huh.
I wonder if petting my cat is better for my cat or for me.
I could go either way on that.
Hmm.
These have been shower thoughts. This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.